Well, good morning. My name is Brian. I'm a part of the team here at Grace Gathering. Normally on a given Sunday, my wife and I are part of Grace Gathering North, but we're all a part of the same church, and I get to see all of these faces only a few times, so it's really, really a gift to be here with you this morning. I want to introduce you to a man this morning. His name is Justin Rosenstein. And Justin Rosenstein is a part of this growing movement of speaking out against tech companies and apps and services that we use on a daily basis on our phones. He's really concerned that the addictive nature of our phones means that we're spending more and more time using these apps and services. And the more time that we spend with these things, the more we're influenced by them and shape the way we live and how we think. Rosenstein is so concerned with this, he's actually living this out himself. He's really good with computers. He leads a project management company in Silicon Valley. He actually coded a tweak into his computer to limit and block him from using certain websites, which he deemed as time wasters. He banned himself from using Snapchat, which, by the way, he compared to heroin. Very interesting. And lastly, last August, this is what he did. He asked his personal secretary to go to the Apple store to buy him a brand new iPhone and then turn on parental control settings so that he doesn't even have full control or access to his own phone. He's really committed to this. Now, Justin Rosenstein is particularly wary of one specific aspect of a lot of these apps and services, the like button. Now, the like button started on Facebook. We're all familiar with it. We react to different people's posts when they post something on Facebook, but now it's everywhere. It's on all of the different social media platforms. It's even on a lot of different websites and other services that we use. And he's really concerned that when we post something, we really want to receive that level of feedback, and then we become addicted to waiting for that notification that someone liked our post. And he's concerned that this is affecting us. He actually calls those notifications bright dings of pseudo or fake pleasure that are seductive as they are hollow. Now, I think you're going to appreciate this. One more thing about Justin Rosenstein is 11 years ago, he worked at Facebook, and he was the engineer who stayed up all night because he had an idea. He coded the very first like button. So the guy who created this stuff is now starting to regret it. And he's a part of this movement of people in Silicon Valley that are worried that we are being shaped so much by these apps and services that we use each day. Tristan Harris, who was a former design ethicist at Google, interesting title, he says, "Billions of people are largely unaware of the invisible ways in which a small number of people in Silicon Valley are shaping their lives." It's a little ominous, I know. And I get it. I love technology. I love using my phone. And I often find myself pulling my phone out, and I open up an app, and I intend to just maybe check a notification, check some information, and then I find myself there much longer than I anticipated. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. But it's not just our phones or our digital experiences that have influence on us. This morning, we're talking about what the Bible calls the world. It's all of the culture and the values around us that influence us and have effect on us and shape the way we think, act, and live. And it's not just our digital experiences. It's all the things. It's literally the world around us. It's the public places that we spend most of our time. Maybe the workplace or school or coffee shops or restaurants that you frequent. It's the things that we spend our most time doing. It's when we go to a friend's house or when we watch our neighbors and we see how they act, how they live, the things that they buy, the way that they keep their lawn or their landscaping, the way that they spend their time. It's just in personal conversations with a friend or a coworker or a family member or even a complete stranger. You're checking out at a store and the conversation that you have with that person has an effect on you. Not to mention when you're in the store, you see all of the different ads and the way that the store is laid out and the headlines on the magazines. All of these things have an effect on us. And it's really important that we start this morning by knowing that the world influences the way that we think, the way that we act, the way that we behave, and how we live our lives. And the problem is this. When we are caught up in the world's values, it robs us of experiencing the promises that God has for us. When we allow the influences of the world to change how we live, it steals our ability to receive His promises. But as we'll see today, when we reject the ways of the world and choose God's way, we are able to receive His promises. It's very simple. When we reject the ways of the world and we choose God's way, we're able to receive His promises. Now, this fall, we've spent 8 weeks in a series called Taking Territory, and we've talked about how this series really is a follow-up or a complement to that series. In that series, we followed the story of Joshua and the Israelites and how when they entered the promised land, they actually had to fight for the good things that God had promised them. And we talked about how the same is true for us. Now, if we're talking about how we have to fight for the promises, it's helpful to know who or what we're fighting. We have to name our enemies. And so throughout the Christian tradition, they've called it the three enemies of the soul. 2 weeks ago, Paul McConaughey talked about what the Bible calls our enemy or the devil and how he works. Last week, Chris talked about our own sinful nature, which the Bible calls the flesh. And today, we're talking about all of the worldly and cultural values that influence us every single day, which the Bible calls the world. And so we spent our time for those 8 weeks in Joshua. Today, I want to back us up just one book before that in Deuteronomy. So if you have a Bible or you're allowed to use your phones for this part, if you want to pull up Deuteronomy, we're going to start in chapter 28 and we'll end in chapter 6. A little introduction to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a sermon given by Moses. And a little bit about the scene as of his sermon. 40 years prior, Moses was leading the Israelites to the promised land, but they didn't have faith that they could actually take it. They didn't believe that they could receive God's promises. And so because of that, they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. That was a generation ago. Today, Moses is giving this sermon to a new generation with this very simple idea. When you go to the land that God has promised you, you will encounter new cultural values, new worldviews, new people with different priorities, with different gods, with different ideas about what it means to live well, our purpose in life, and these things will start to influence you. So, be warned. If you live that way, you will live a life of destruction. These things will rip apart your families and your soul. But if you live differently, then you will receive God's promises. And in the end of his sermon, in Deuteronomy 28, Moses gives us a picture of what those promises look like. It says in verse 9, "If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will actually set the culture. You'll always be at the top, never at the bottom. You must not turn away from any of these commands I'm giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. Now, God is not messing around here. His blessing is not one where it's like, hey, do all of these things, and if you do it, maybe I'll throw in something nice. His blessing is all-encompassing. It affects every part of their lives, from home to work, from small things to big things, from personal things to family things to community things, their status, their provision. Every part of their lives can be blessed by God. That is, if they don't let the world influence how they live. Now, Moses talks about the types of influences that the Israelites would encounter. What types of influences do we encounter on a daily basis? There's lots of them. I want to just name four and show how these actually rob us of our ability to receive God's promises. The first is individualism. In our culture, individualism is so important. And there's some positives to that. With our culture, we actually expect people to take personal responsibility for their actions and take, in a Christian context, take our faith personally and seriously. But the negatives are that we become very individualized, very selfish, very lonely, and we become our own authority on right and wrong. Now, the promises that God has given us around having healthy relationships, we don't get to have because we are now lonely individuals and it's all about me. The promises that God gives us in Hebrews 5, it says those who are mature know right from wrong, but if you are your own authority, you lose that promise, that blessing of knowing right from wrong. A second value is around money and materialism. Now, this weekend was really, really big for this with Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, everything going on this week. I'm sure every day of the week is covered. And it's really important in our culture that you start gaining stuff and gaining money. We talk about someone's net worth as if their worth is actually just attributed to how much money that they have. But what happens is we are not thankful. We're discontent, always wanting more. We start to have a low self-worth, and we don't actually get to trust that God will provide. We don't get to see him as a dad who gives good gifts. Achievement is another really big cultural influence. Whether it's college degrees, status at work, something you achieve in sports, travel, or experiences, but we never feel like we're enough. We're unable to understand that God is proud of us. Lastly, time, and specifically busyness. We wear busyness as a badge of honor. Hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm good. How you been? Busy. Super busy. It's really important to us, but when we're so busy, we're unable to rest. We get burned out. We no longer take joy in using our gifts. We become bitter, and we don't receive what the Bible says is God's peace that goes beyond our understanding. Do you see what's happening here? When we allow worldly values to influence us and we start to live them out, we are no longer able to receive the promises that God wants to give us. It's like it's pouring down rain and we're so thirsty and all we do is go to the kitchen and we grab this little strainer to catch the water. Our lives are unable to receive the promises that he wants to give us. But when we reject the ways of the world and we choose God's way, we're able to receive his good gifts. Now, at the beginning of Moses' sermon, he gives this call, and this is where we're going to sit for the rest of our time, in Deuteronomy 6. In it, Moses says, if you truly love God, you will build in these four habits that will change the way that you live so that you can receive God's blessings and set the culture around you. It says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, completely, every part of you. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands, wear them on your foreheads as reminders, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Moses is appealing to God's people to live differently. And this morning, we want to do the same. And so let's talk through these four habits that Moses gives us and see how they prepare our lives to receive God's promises. The first habit of four is to, number one, invest in others. It says in verse 6, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. Verse 7, repeat them again and again to your children. Now, Moses is speaking about physical children, but this is true of our spiritual children as well. When we follow Jesus, we become his disciples, and the natural part of that is to disciple others. When we shape others, we are shaped. When we are teaching someone about the scriptures, we're reminded of the scriptures. When we are telling someone how to pray, we are practicing how to pray. And then it multiplies out. But it doesn't mean that it's always easy. This past year, without even realizing it, I allowed some worldly values to influence the way that I was living, and I missed out on this incredible, incredible gift. You see, before last August, Shandy, my wife, and I were leading out the youth ministry at Grace Gathering North. And so a part of my job, a part of my hours each week was investing in kids. And we had investments in small groups, in large groups, in adult teams, in interns. And it was just a part of what I was doing, and I loved it. It was so, so good. But then about a year ago in August, I transitioned my roles here away from youth ministry into leading out communication. Now, we'd never had anyone do that here. We didn't have a creative team yet. We didn't have a creative team of people that I was like, they were already there where I could be investing in them. And so I went straight into the tasks of getting things in place that had never been in place before. And a year goes by, and I'm not investing in people as much as I was before. And around this August, September, a year had gone in, and I started feeling really, really tired. I just felt frustrated. I felt a little bitter, and I felt restless, out of balance. And for 2 months, week after week, I felt this way. And it wasn't until towards the end of that I remembered, I have learned this lesson before. Back in my sophomore year at Huntington University, I had come out of a summer of investing in people through an internship at a church, and then that fall, I got caught up in the busyness. I was taking lots and lots of classes, I had lots of homework, I was running cross country, I had on-campus jobs, I was doing things on the floor, and I wasn't investing in anyone. And I just remember feeling so restless and out of balance. And I'll never forget, I went into the basement of one of the oldest buildings on campus, and I'm sitting in one of my favorite professor's offices. And we're sitting on these chairs, we're sipping this tea out of these little Chinese cups that he got on his trips to Macau, China. And I'm explaining all these things that I'm feeling. And he says to me, you know, Brian, I've felt this way before. And I tend to feel that way when I have so much that I'm receiving, but I'm not giving it away. And I wonder if that's what you're experiencing right now. It sounds like you've got a lot of good things going on. You're receiving a lot of good things through classes, through people investing in you, but you're not giving it away. And I think you're missing out on the blessings that God wants to give you. And so because of that, I changed the way that I was living. I started finding different ways to invest in guys on my team. I started a Bible study on our floor, and I started to experience a more rich and full life because of it. And yet, this past year, I had fallen into the same trap. I had allowed the cultural values of time and busyness to impact the way that I was living. I made all of these excuses. I thought, well, I'm really busy at my job here. I work part-time here. I work part-time at another job downtown. I'm going to school. I've got two kids. I'm a husband. And because of all of these good things, I'm not giving myself away. And I needed to repent. I needed to change the way I was living. How many of you feel this way? Like I feel like I'm supposed to be discipling someone, but I don't know when I have time for that. I'm too busy. Don't let the influences of the world steal the blessings that God wants to give you. So that's the first habit. We have to invest in others if we want to choose God's way and receive his promises. The second habit is to integrate your life. It says in verse 7, the second part, talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you are getting up. If we want to reject the ways of the world and receive God's promises, we have to live an integrated life. Moses doesn't say, just talk about this once a week on Sunday mornings. Well, he wouldn't say that. He didn't say, just talk about this when you go to the tabernacle to worship. He says, talk about this all the time, when you're at home, when you're at work, in the morning, in the evening, when you're by yourself, when you're with other people. Live an integrated life. A few weeks ago, I met this new friend, really, really cool guy, fun to talk to. We've got a lot of the same interests. And over the course of the night, the conversation turned towards faith. And this is what he said to me. He said, you know, I've been thinking a lot about faith lately. A couple years ago, my mom passed away from cancer. This summer, I had a garage fire and I lost a lot of really important things to me. And I know that I need to get on the right track. But here's the deal. When I go to church on a Sunday, I love it. I feel really good. I feel like I'm on the right track. But then I am a totally different person throughout the week. I go to work, I hate the people that I work with, I lead a bunch of bums, and I'm just a completely different person. You would never see me as a Christian when I'm at work. I think we've all experienced this pull. To live one way with certain people, to live a different way with other people. But here's the problem. When we put our lives into these tiny, neat little compartments, then we only receive God's blessing in compartments. As an example, if you are on a Sunday a really selfless person and you love spending time with people and you talk to them and you listen to them and you serve them, then you're experiencing the blessing of healthy relationships. But if during the week at work you're a jerk, you're not experiencing the blessing of healthy relationships. If we want to experience God's all-encompassing, all good blessings, we have to live an integrated life. Habit number three, and yes, all of these start with I. I actually tried not to do that, but I had a hard time remembering them. So this is my own little mnemonic, maybe it'll help you remember too. Habit number three is to intentionally remember. It says in verse 8, tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Now, for Jewish priests, this means that they would take little bits of the Torah, of the scriptures, put them on these boxes and to actually physically tie them to their foreheads and on their wrists. Now, we don't actually do that today. Maybe, like, I guess tattoos would be kind of an equivalent for some people. But here's how it plays out in my life. Here's one way. Every morning, my phone goes off because my alarm is on my phone. And so I get out of bed, I go to my phone, I turn my alarm off, and I have a choice. Am I going to dive straight into my notifications, straight into social media, straight into the news, and allow that be the first thing in the morning to shape me? Or am I going to read scripture and pray? Now, this hasn't always been easy, but over the course of the past year or so, I've experienced a lot of breakthrough. And actually, if we don't have time to get into it right now, but there's been a lot of research recently, both Christian and secular, around the how unhealthy it is for us to dive straight into our notifications and social media and digital escapes first thing in the morning. If you're interested, Google time well spent or digital well-being. It's this whole movement. A lot of the people that I quoted at the beginning are a part of this movement. Because of this movement, though, both Apple and Google have released new features this fall that actually help you use your phone less. Very novel idea. But because of this, in the mornings, what I've done is I've set certain settings. So about the first 15 minutes in the morning, I can't even see my notifications. And my phone is actually set to grayscale, so I'm not even attracted to the colors. And this is just a habit that I've tried to put in place because I know how easy it is to just dive straight into all these things. But I want so desperately God to shape me. And actually, maybe because I'm preaching about it today, this week has been like the hardest week in a very long time to do this. So I understand the world's pull. But instead of diving into those things, my habit has become to instead pull out the Bible app, I read the daily verse, and then I pray about it and think about it for about the first 5 minutes. It's because we need to intentionally remember God's truth. We have to live lives where we're being intentionally reminded of the good news of Jesus. What habits do you have that you allow God's truth to shape you? What things in your life and habits in your life are you allowing to shape you more than God? Lastly, the fourth habit is to invite others in. In verse 9, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Last Sunday night, we in our missional community had a Friendsgiving. How many of you, did anybody in this room have a Friendsgiving as a part of all of these different Thanksgivings that you had? Yes, 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 that's what I'm talking about. Friendsgivings are so much fun. So we had like 25, 30 people over at Levi and Allison Francois' house. Everybody brought food. It was so much fun. People were at different places in faith. Some are really following Jesus. Some aren't even sure that he exists. But everyone was willing to be a part of it. And so we invited all of these people in, and about halfway through the night, I stood up and I just shared. We want to be a part of creating a community of friends who feel like family and who experience Jesus in everyday life. And then I shared how in James it talks about every good and perfect gift comes from our Heavenly Father who loves us. And so what we did was we encouraged everyone in the room to introduce themselves and then say one thing that they were thankful for. Very, very small thing. But we're trying to set the culture. Deuteronomy 28 says, Moses says, if you live this way, I will make you the head and not the tail. That's God's promise. We get to set the culture and invite people in. In other words, as followers of Jesus, we don't just resist the influences of the world for ourselves. We actually invite others into this new way of living so that they can receive the promises of God too. We are partners in bringing heaven to earth when we reject the ways of the world and choose God's way. We're able to receive his promises. are there ways that you find that you're able to invite others into experience what you've experienced? To close, I just want us to think for a moment. What would it look like if we all together rejected the ways of the world, we identified all the ways that we were being influenced by the world, we resisted them by choosing to live God's way? What would it look like if we all lived out these daily habits of investing in others, intentionally remembering, integrating our lives as one and inviting others in? How would we receive blessings that before we couldn't receive? How would this impact not just ourselves, but our families, our community, our church, our city? If we live differently than the world together and invite others to do the same, what promises and what blessings from God could we experience together? Just encourage as we move into this response time, that's what we want to process. What is God bringing to your mind? What is it that he wants to give you? What things are influencing you? What is it that you're allowing to shape you more than God? May we be a people who know exactly how the world is influencing us. May we be a people who understand the values and the culture of this world and see how it's different than God's way and culture. May we be a people who live lives of habits that train us to live differently so that we can receive everything he wants to give us. And he is full of good gifts. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you love us, that you want to spend time with us, and that you show us a new way of living so that we can receive your promises. I pray right here, right now, you would be speaking to us about how we can respond to your good news. Amen.